This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Peter Bonn. You are the marketing man for Schloss Proschwitz. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
Did I get it right?
Yes.
Excellent.
So, but you see, it's a problem when you are a marketing man and a salesman and doing the strategy for Schloss Proschwitz. It's not easy to do that in England because the name is not easy to spell in England.
No. That's fine. You're a bit weird from a normal German wine point of view in that you guys are actually based in East Germany.
Yeah, we are based in East Germany in the heart of Saxony in the so-called Elbtal, you know, the river Elbe, which is going, you can say, from around Prague to Hamburg. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a beautiful scenery. It's, let me say, 45, 50 kilometers where the wine is concentrated on, always across the river Elbe. And it's really a nice climate where you can do wines. Otherwise, it wouldn't be it wouldn't be for 800 years there.
So you've been there for 800 years. That's an awful long time.
Yes, could be. But not yeah. us, but the
not
wine.
Yourself personally,
the wine, the wine is in fact there for more than 800 years, and. It was always, I think it's the same like in England, it was always the church which is...
controlling it all, yeah.
Right, right. And it is funny because we have completely different times. We had times in the 17th century where we had 6,000 hectares of wine growing area. And now we have 470 hectares, which
quite
makes us the second smallest wine growing area in Germany.
You say the region's got about 400 hectares of vines. How big is Schloss Proschwitz?
Schloss Proschwitz is around 80 hectares now. The region is 470 hectares officially, and we have 80 hectares.
Are they all under vine?
No, we have 30 hectares from these 80 hectares where we have new plants, and we need another 2-3 years until we get the first wine from it, because in wine business it's very, very important to be careful in the first years. So you give all your care and love to the grapes, especially in the first years, and not doing harvest too early.
One of the things I'm quite interested in is to understand maybe some of the history, the recent history, maybe changing from when it was originally United Germany through what happened to the region during the East German time, and now through to what's happened, because I understand you're one of the first to get VDP status as well.
Yeah, it was in 96, very early, and this was very motivating for us because we get in contact with all the good VDP estates. Especially on the exhibitions, and we learned a lot from that. We really learned a lot. And before it was a very hard time because, you know, the wine in 1990 was the techniques, all the techniques and knowledge was not like in West Germany because it was a closed system. In the 80s, you couldn't go to French or Italian winemakers or other West German winemakers and ask for information. It was also difficult to buy special techniques, machines, tanks, all this. This was very, very difficult. So we didn't have the quality in 1990, 91, 92, but we had to work and we had to invest a lot, and this in a very, very quick time. Let me say it a little bit provocant. We had to do a lot of things in 15, 20 years where other wine estates had 300 years.
Where were you? Yeah, what was the East German wine industry like at the end of World War II, or maybe during that period? Was there quite a strong East German wine scene?
And the father of Prince Zur Lippe was expropriated in 1945. He had a well-running wine estate and also 500,000 hectares of agricultural area. He had also houses in Dresden, but he lost everything by the expropriation. Right, in 1945 by the Russians, and he in 1990 he didn't get back one hectare. So he had to buy everything, but he couldn't buy everything, of course. So it is 80 hectares now, and we bought back the castle, and we bought back very old estate, which we reconstructed, which we reconstruct even now with very modern cellar technique and so on. So we had to really, we had to invest a lot of money, a lot of tears, and a lot of work. But before 1990 and after the Second World War, it was not the best time for the wine, because it was not supported by the state, by the GDR.
GDR is like the old Eastern,
the old East DDR, government. The old East German government, right? And they concentrate on the bigger agricultural business, not on wine. It was too small, and that was the reason why the and we are very proud on this, why the private persons, I think around 3,000-4,000 private persons, did all the wine. They grow the wine, and they brought the grapes to the cooperative. That was the only company who sold the wine. There was also a state, of course, a state-owned wine estate called Schloss Wackerbarth, and the cooperative was the most important company, and they collected all the grapes by the private people, and then they sold the wine, and it was very, very rare. It was so difficult to get a bottle of GDR wine. It was so difficult that, it was very worth, you know. It,
high status,
right? I know people, even in my team in Proschwitz, people were working, the older ones who get advantages in the apprenticeship, because they had a few bottles of Saxonian wine. When you want to, when people had repaired cars or want their car repairs, it was much easier with two or three bottles of Saxonian wine.
So you go, here's my Trabi, those funny...
Trabi, right. Yeah. It was a currency for repairing a Trabi much faster.
Was the wine any good?
This is a question maybe you can answer in a very arrogant way and say, no, it was really not good. It was really not good.
Yeah.
But I think you had to show respect before the time. And when you see there was less knowledge, there was no technique, and they did wine in a very primitive way. And I had respect for that. It was not what I was used to and what I like, but it was wine, and it was made under not very well, not under good, how do you say, surroundings.
Probably not very clean.
Not very clean. Right? Yeah. But it was made, and that was the most important.
Is there any wine left over from those periods? Have you tried stuff?
There are wines, yeah, and I tried it, but
You wouldn't recommend it to people?
No.
We've actually tried. I've just come and tried some of your wines at we're recording this at the Mainz VDP trade show. And I came through and I tried some of your wines before we came down here and did the interview. And they were pretty good. I thought they were maybe lacking some intensity, but the ice wine you gave me at the end was quite nice. Again, maybe a wee bit of acidity missing from there, but generally it was, I'd be more than happy to drink that. I thought it was good stuff.
It's to the thing you said is the intensity.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, now I'm a wine drinker for a long time, and first you look for aroma, you look for intensity. But when you drink more and more wine, you look for finesse.
Balance.
For balance, for finesse, for elegance. And that is not always the pure intensity. So you are right, in 2007 was a fine year for the lighter ones, but it was not a good one for the wines we also made in the last years, for the more powerful ones. I'm not sure, did you try the...
I tried your 05.
Pinot Gris Barrique?
No, I tried your Spat Burgunder from 2005, Pinot Noir from
2005. Okay, yeah.
And that was on the nose. It had a lovely sort of, Pinot nose, nice and cherry, or all that sort of stuff. Maybe a wee bit weak through the mid palate, but quite good. I gave it a good rating. Yeah. I thought it was nice.
Okay.
What price does those sort of wines sell for?
We sell from the estate this Pinot Noir for €22, which is how much pounds?
By the time you convert the pound to the euro and then you add VAT and duty and all that, it's probably about the same.
Okay. So 22, but it's 2006, will be filled in September, and this will be much more stuffy. You see, when you try the Dornfelder from 2006, you will see it's more stuffy in 2006, more fruit, more concentrated.
Are you quite seasonal? Like, do you feel the climate change? You know, a good year will make quite a difference to your vineyard.
We do that. We do that. There are a lot of critics who said, you make wines like in former times, you only know from the Mosel or from the Rheingau. You still have this wonderful acidity, this well-balanced acidity. This is something which makes it also interesting for other areas in the north. You won't believe, but I visited two estates in Denmark. They have 23 or 21 estates in Denmark, and they make pretty nice wines.
Yeah.
On the island of Bornholm, for example, and even in Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, which is in the most northern state in Germany, they produce wine. And you can feel it and you can read it on the labels. When you ask your parents or your grandparents what they drink from Germany, for example, they loved the wines with 9, 10, 11% of alcohol. And increasing. Sometimes you get wines from Baden with 15.5% of alcohol. This is the climate change. You can read on the label.
And I suppose where I was getting to was more some regions, like things like Marlborough or a lot of the Australian stuff, they seem to have quite consistent quality year on year. Do you guys feel the different climate, you get a change in weather from one year to the next?
You have to be extremely flexible, extremely. When you want to work like, we do that every year in the same way. We do the harvest of Müller-Thurgau of Riesling on 22nd of October, for example. You won't succeed in Germany, and you especially won't succeed in East Germany, because you have to be very flexible. So in some days we decide at 5-6 o'clock in the morning, no, we don't do the harvest now. We call the 40 people, stop, tomorrow we try again. Or sometimes we decide to go on another vineyard. Yeah, you have to do that very flexible. But it's a question also of globalization and what style of wine you like. It's on the one hand for the mass producers very important to do standards, because you want to communicate these standards, and for that is important to have the same quality, the same sensoric profile every year. And then it's good when you come from an area where you have the same harvest conditions every year. But in Germany, we really are, and we should, I think we should communicate this, we are an area of different vintages, completely different. And when you are into wine and you try the 1967 or 69 or compare it with 82 or maybe the last 3 years, 2005, 6, 7, this is really fun. And this is talking about wine, but also talking about characters, because every vintage, every wine is different, and I think it's good. Not every vintage has to be like 2003, completely full flavored, stuffy. It's also good when you serve different food, for example, antipasti, special fish, etc. You need lighter wine, so don't only look on the grape, on the producer. Also look on the vintage.
One of the things that I'm picking up from talking to German producers at the moment is that particularly growers on the quiet sleep slopes who aren't in the best sites find it quite hard to make wines economically because of labour costs. What are the labour costs like on the East Germany at the moment? Are they similar to the West now, or are they, you know, do you have problems with labour? And is your vineyard laid out for machine harvesting, or is it laid out for hand harvesting?
We do most hand harvesting. We do a little bit for the quality wines in the cabinets with the machine, but don't think machine is much more easy. Because you do the, before you use the machine, you do a negative selection. You have to put all away you don't want to harvest. Yeah. And therefore you need also 20, 30 people who go through the vineyard. So it's hard work. The costs are high because we have really low average quantity, harvest quantity per hectare. In Germany, you can say we have 90 until 100 hectoliters per hectare. In Saxony, it was 45 until 50 in the last 10 years. Yeah, okay. So that's not a lot. So we only had one chance. We only can concentrate on our sensoric profile, which is based on the terroir and on the quality. That is the only possibility. Otherwise, we can't compete in a market with wines. We can't compete with wines who were sold in supermarkets. It's not possible.
Sure. I suppose, but is your labor cost in East Germany similar to the labor costs in West Germany?
The costs are the same, but the difference is the people working in our vineyards are from the area, from Meißen, from Dresden, and the people working in the vineyards during the harvest, for example, in the Mosel, are most times, for example, from Poland. Mm. Yeah, but in East Germany, the people are used to work very hard. So they're coming from Meißen and around Meißen.
So you don't have any problems getting hold of labor?
But it's the complete agricultural business. It doesn't matter if you do Spargel, what is Spargel? Asperge, or you do wine, is not good paid. So it's not like you can earn 12, 15, 20 euro per hour. It's less, of course.
Sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense, doesn't it? When the wall came down,
yeah.
What was the what happened in the first couple of years? What happened in a couple of years after that? You know, what was the first couple of years?
The first year was interesting because the prince stood in the vineyards, and he was a very successful consultant for the famous consultant Roland Berger, and he was also working as a manager for successful companies in Germany. And he asked himself, is it worth continuing the history of the family in Saxony? And he was the youngest of six children of his parents, and he was talking with his father in the 80s, talking about Saxony, about what was and what will be. And then suddenly there was a possibility of doing something in Meißen. And the first thing was to buy the grapes and to buy the ground. And after that, it was a funny story. In 91, when we did the first harvest, Prince Zalippe had the grapes, but not the cellar.
Yeah.
So he tried to get a possibility to make wine out of the grapes, because he didn't want to become a special producer for Rosinen, yeah? For how do you call this small concentrated. We call it Rosinen in Germany.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Raisins.
Right, raisins, yeah. And for that reason, he used the old, I can only say it in German, Betriebskampfwagen, the old military vehicle from the LPG, from the cooperative. And he put the grapes on this, and he went 400 kilometers to Franconia, to the famous wine estate Castel, which he's related to, and they did the wine for us.
Oh, okay, nice.
And then he put the bottles on the vehicle and put it back to Saxony. So this was really funny. And then we started with our own small cellar, and I joined the estate after finishing my study in 96. And, you know, we had this kind of garage estate. You only know from the IT business, but we had this too. We had a garage estate with one laptop, two members. And we didn't have a heater. In 96, we had a winter with 28 degrees minimum, and we didn't have
Fahrenheit,
a heating system.
Yeah.
No, Celsius.
A minus 28.
28 degrees minus
Celsius.
Yeah. So this was pretty cold. And we had these gas burners, and it was funny because some people who visited us said, what are you doing? Why no one?
Why is it so cold?
Yeah, and we bought some tanks, and it continues and continues. And then we bought this old estate, and then we created our own building company. So we don't have only a wine estate, a distillery. We also have a building company. And then the next years, it was was we have now more than 500 events in a year, or even the president of Germany, the ambassadors, and a lot of companies visit us to have fine dining with very good cooks, with star cooks, and drink the wines. I drink the wines there in tastings, and so we had to create our own event company. So every year, every 2 years, we do something new. Yep. We are planning our own restaurant, which is concentrated on regional good food. How do you say, not ecological food, biological food. Yeah, so we try to do that. And it's every year you have something new to do.
Okay then, Peter. I think we'll wrap it up there.
Okay.
Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.